This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Today Tonight with
Prime Time
with Charles Mitchell. Welcome to the podcast. Now, we have some candles blown.
Well, it smells like a potpourri shop in here.
I brought the candles home last week to test them, did you?
Yeah, I did. I'm having a great time with the candles.
Let's just blow out the candle to remind us of the presence of God.
He's reading the Bible.
I can't continue the podcast.
He's been reading the Bible.
I can't continue the podcast here because there's a Levi shirt. Look at the Levi. I've never seen. Look at the Levi
that's
on Tommy.
Very well spotted, Hector.
See the Levi on him. Levi's, Tommy. You're on about denim shirts last week.
That's a denim shirt.
Look at you. You're such.
That's a denim shirt.
That's cotton. It's cotton.
Well, it's formal denim.
Look at the Levi logo on the
brushed. It's brushed Indian cotton.
He found it during his clean out. It's brushed cotton.
It's alpaca cotton.
I like it because it's big. I'm still on this big Hindi vibe.
Mm. What, did they wear that in the film?
No, but it's just baggy and loose and big and, you know, there's no...
You'd love the markets in Mumbai.
I love dresses and just big...
Linen shirts. Why don't you wear more linen?
A lot of me linen shirts are see-through, Larissa.
Oh, right.
Because they're summertime...
For this weather.
They're summertime nipple magnets.
See-through grandfather...
Summertime nipple magnets.
See-through grandfather cotton shorts.
Now, people have started taking advantage of our intimacy. They're starting sending us things. And stuff is arriving now. Mm-hmm. It says, the podcast... The Hen House Galway.
And it's getting here.
And it's getting here. So we've got a few things arrived now. I want to say thank you to this man here, John McCarthy.
I'm not eating it.
No, we're not eating it, but we really appreciate the stuff that's been sent so far.
Yes.
But will you stop?
It's not.
It's already starting.
Do you know the nice thing? It's not coming to our house.
Ding dong.
So John McCarthy... he's from the Midlands. Anyway, he has sent us all a scarf.
Oh, very nice.
An indoor tweed scarf.
Right.
So, and
is this
his brand, Quirky?
I guess so.
Oh, yes, they were in touch with me. That's nice now.
Tommy.
Look at this.
And a little note.
Jude,
yeah, it's from Jude.
But how do you know Jude is a man or a woman? I think Jude's a woman.
Now we won't.
I think Jude is a woman's there from the writing.
Yeah, from the writing.
Yeah,
right,
so it's Jude, sorry. So these are indoors.
Oh, wow, this is very nice.
Hector doesn't like his. Well, I love mine.
There's a lot of thought put into this.
Hector doesn't like
it. It looks like a pinstripe suit from the 70s.
Oh, did I get
it's a nude one. Tommy, hang on.
Typical Tommy. The Saturday night now, we'll be watching the...
Oh, this will be on now next
week.
That's nice.
Oh, look at it. It's a pinstripe snood.
It's not a pinstripe snood. It's a scarf, Hector.
It's a snood, Tommy.
Well, mine's like...
Oh, yours is a snood.
It's a pinstripe snood.
Mine is silver and black. It's lovely. Hector, put it on you till we have a look.
Look at the size of you.
Oh, that's lovely on you, Hector.
There's
a bang of mead off that, isn't there?
There is.
There's a bang of the old Keepak jersey off that.
If I
started watching the Navin O'Mahony's he's in 90... What about... Look at the size of her. Look at the size of your scarf.
Lovely, isn't it? Silver and black in the inside.
So the name of the brand is Quirky.
It's Quirky and it's from Jude.
Thank you very much.
You're styling Hector, upgrading Hector's style.
It's a small Irish business. So, and the next thing...
Thank you very much.
Hang on, we're not done with that now. I've an awful feeling this... I'll give this to Hector and you can take it home with you. I think it's...
You'll get a lot of wear out of that.
I will. It's lovely.
I think this is from you going on about the seeds, Hector.
These are handmade, you know.
I think it's wildflowers.
I hope it is. This could be another anthrax attack.
So I got sent a voucher in the post. And it's a voucher for 3 speedboats.
What do you mean?
It's a voucher to use 3 speedboats anywhere in Ireland.
Oh, we can use them.
Yeah, so we're getting sent good stuff.
I thought you meant...
No, I'm only joking.
You meant you were...
You know what I'm looking for.
A voucher to buy a speedboat.
A voucher for
like
a speedboat. Look at this. Somebody's...
So what did you get there now?
Smell that, the seeds in that.
Don't throw
it. It's coming out of it.
Oh, look at this. So,
Bee Meadow perennial seedlings.
Fruit Hill Farm.
Oh, they'll be wild flowers for
Fruit
you now.
Hill perennial. Farm.
Is that near your bum?
No, Tommy.
Yeah.
What's that word?
A perennial is something that grows on the bottom.
What is that word?
Your perennium.
Perennium, yeah.
Your perennium seed mix.
That is disgusting.
This is from...
Oh, Tommy, look at this.
There'll be wasps coming out of your gutter.
Don't go near him, he's got waspy hole. These are the Bee Meadow, and it's from Bantry, County Cork.
Okay.
Now we sound like an RTE show in 1984.
Stop. We can't mention...
And a happy birthday to Gillian, who's 84. And they're comes in from Ross, John, and Maura, who's not well.
Here's the card from
everyone. You can send the stuff in, but we just won't be thanking you anymore because we can't.
Well, here, I know. Look, we're not going to go down.
Now, look,
but I just want to say well done to Fruit Hall Farm in Bantry, in West Cork.
Hector,
it's too early for this.
Yeah, yeah. Fruit Hall.
Bath. Did you have a bath?
No, it's Fruit Hall.
Yeah, did you have a bath?
Yeah, but why did you say fruit?
Because it's fucking 10 in the morning. And it says here,
dear
Hector and the sneers. What a way to start a letter.
Oh, well, you've won them over straight away.
Taking sides already.
Dear
won
Hector,
them over
thank
straight
you,
away.
Fruit Hill Farm, for the bees. I will scatter those seeds all over my patch.
Okay. Excellent. Now,
just get this out of the way really quickly. Just the naming of the show.
Whoa. Okay, hang on there.
You have stuff now?
I have six.
Okay, are they good?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
They're my regulars and I will continue my regulars.
So it's names you've called out before?
No. Vasco da Carna.
No.
Turlock, Borussia Gladbach.
No, too complicated.
Okay, Westportivo La Coruña.
Westportivo La Coruña. That's a good one. That's good.
And my final one is Bayer Leverkusen.
what?
Yes, I got a laugh. We got a laugh. He likes it.
Okay, Bayer Lever Cookstown. Is it a bit big?
Anyway, it's brilliant.
Brighton and Cove Albion.
We had it, but it's good. Well, let's keep that. I like that, Tommy.
Brighton and Cove.
Cove Albion.
Oh, yeah, we got that one.
Galatasaray.
No, because I had Galway Tassery and you didn't like it, so that's too complicated, as you
FC Copenhagen. Not bad.
Olympianok. No, I think we'll go with
Westportivo La Coruña.
Yes, okay. All right.
I like the Mayo ones.
Okay, let's just clear up the table here.
We won't be able to see each other with all the...
There's one for your garden as well.
No, thanks.
No, spread it.
Oh, great.
I'll show you how to spread the seed.
Oh, great.
Now.
I wouldn't know. Okay, great.
So we have a very special treat this week in that a wonderful man by the name of Mick Constantine, who is a professional songwriter, I suppose. He writes songs for... groups and
parties and people.
And so he's kind of a songwriter for hire. He's done songs for
I saw him a couple of years ago.
Tyson Fury.
He's done one for McGregor. That's where I saw him first. He'd done an unbelievable song for McGregor when McGregor was going to Vegas in all his pomp about 5 years ago. I think McGregor flew him over VIP and he performed it there and then.
Mick Constantine.
So tell us how it landed that morning and where you saw it. You heard it first, Louise.
So I got an Instagram private message, and
are they not usually like filth, like some fellas?
No, Tommy, you have like
that's the
you
WhatsApp,
ever,
Tommy. That's the WhatsApp. If you give me that WhatsApp.
If you were ever on social media, like you don't have to necessarily get dirty messages, just normally.
But if someone wanted to send a dirty message to you, what way would they do it?
A dirty message.
I don't know. People don't tend to send
them. They send it on WhatsApp, Tommy. WhatsApp.
Sometimes filth, you get these it? Ones where it's like, girls want to play, you know, follow this link.
Do girls use WhatsApp in the same way men use WhatsApp for sending videos?
What kind of videos?
Like football match scores and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean.
Do you get videos the same way men get videos on WhatsApp?
Well, I don't think women's phones are specifically different than men's
say
phones.
A group chat about
they're lighter.
Say about 17... Say about 17 lads are on WhatsApp and then it's going well on a Thursday night and there's a few beers going down next minute. Did you see that sending on that video? Do you get videos like that?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Do you?
But not as dirty as men's ones. But we do.
No, but I
videos.
Mean if somebody wants to send you a direct, not, like, not you say, specifically, but...
For instance, I get a lot of these now lately. If you want, we'd love to team up with you and play some games, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And there's all these women with boobs, like...
Just, give us a look at that.
I delete them. I don't want them on my phone in case I get infiltrated or something.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm afraid to open.
I suppose there'd be times you'd want to be infiltrated. All of us would.
Just like but yeah, but by but certain people.
So I say, but I'm talking about like old school, like instead of a Valentine's Day card, like would a fella be standing in the nip in a ditch near Ballina and going, Lariha, any time you want, I'm here for you.
Yeah, well, hopefully I won't get any of those and I'm not encouraging those kind of messages. But if you want to send them to Tommy, by all means do. So, got a nice message.
Hi, Tommy. Yeah. It's Sabrina here in Kilkenny.
Hi, Tommy.
No, she's not in Kilkenny. Okay. I'm down by the sewage pipe in Barna Pier.
Hi, Tommy. It's Fidelma here.
Fidelma.
Yeah.
Hi, Tommy. Just want to say, love your stuff about the Hinduism. I'm big into it as well. My name's Shirisu.
DM me if you want to chat further. That type of crack.
Yeah.
I run the Waterford East Meditation and Hindu Lair.
Do you remember years ago, it used to be when you'd write a text, you'd write WB at the end of it. Now you write DM.
What does WB mean?
It used to be right back.
All right. Okay.
Anyway,
okay,
so Mick happening? Constantine. Am I saying his right name right?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, message me. Mick sent me a message on Instagram and he said, listen, Rita, really enjoying the show and, you know, it's great fun and, you know, getting an awful laugh out of it. So because of that, I decided I'd sit down, listen back to the shows again and I would put together a little fun song for you.
So what we're going to do for you now is
it's
this song is, we think it's fun and we hope you knock a bit of crack out of it as well. We're going to release the song on iTunes or whatever, on the computer or the internet, whatever it's called. And all the money,
every single fucking penny.
99 cents.
Tell him, Larita, tell him the good news. And this is all after happening in the last 4 or 5 days since we've heard the song. Tell them, Larita, what we're planning.
Yeah, so the boys very generously decided that we should
No, it's not generously. Because generously is when you have something and you give it to somebody else.
No, we don't have it.
We don't have anything.
So we are going to raise lots of money, hopefully, for the Mayo Roscommon Hospice.
Yes. All the money raised from the purchasing of the single on iTunes and whatever platform you buy your songs. 99 cent is going to the Mayo Roscommon Hospice.
Excellent. And it's all going to that because Mick Constantine did his, you know, gave us the song.
Oh, yes.
He did that for free. MickConstantine.com if you want to check out his personalised songs. But Brian Masterson mastered the song to make it perfect.
It was recorded by Greg Malacca at...
Greg is great. He worked with Guns N' Roses, Pearl Jam, Nirvana and Peter Gabriel.
He was at Ego Boo Studios.
Yeah!
Ray McDonald did the artwork.
Ray is unbelievable at throwing stuff.
Do you know what this is like? You know, I used to compare fashion shows for the local Mochran de Fermo and you'd be like, next up, it's Sharon wearing a dress from Carmel's Fashions and she's wearing it courtesy
of... And who else do we have to say thanks to?
Thanks to everybody. Gillian and Yvonne and everybody that made this come together in a very quick time.
You pinged me straight away.
Pinged
you. That's a technical term for...
You pinged me over the song and said, check this out.
I haven't been pinged in a long time.
There's a new thing. My new thing, Liz. I haven't been pinged in a long time. But when I heard the song and when we have heard this song, it is absolutely fucking superb. And we were blown away by it. So
Think if you like
turn up your headphones. Turn up your headphones.
And please enjoy.
Talking about lads using robots when they get frisky, and Tommy's tremendous glass of whiskey. Hector telling stories like no one can. Fween looked all tool and we in Inish man. Larita outshifting lads on the piss. Do a twirl before you step into her office. Well, it's some show, but sure you already knew it. The Tommy and Hector podcast with Larita blew it. Started in September in the hen shed and planting hair follicles on top of your head. Being a fool for picking up your own dog's shite and not being able to pronounce penguin right. Eating okie dokies or hunky dory, set dancing with the wild women in Tory. A man walking from Navan to Castlereagh, and Hector's mam saying, I'm in here by the way. A Nigerian prince on a boat, and the outrageous width of the main street in Moat. The mill in school with all the lads bunching, and a spoonful of radio mulching. Lads using robots when they get frisky, and Tommy's tremendous glass of whiskey. Hector telling stories like no one can. Fween looked all tool and we in Inish man. Larita outshifting lads on the piss. Do a twirl before you step into her office. Well, it's some show, but sure you already knew it. The Tommy and Hector podcast with Larita blew it. Bringing the bumblebees back to your hedgerow and cutting the power trying to use a Kango. Cheated over by the poker machines and lit your mull on producing the finest poutine. Ennis was the spot if you were looking for hash, or Westmead if you're looking for a man with a tash. Ayahuasca trips in the back garse of cabin. Find yourself with the Bilturbit shaman, giving dead legs out in the extreme and helping out with your young lads under 12 team. All the daydreamers we think aren't bright. Well, maybe we're wrong and maybe they're right. Taking shrooms from a quilt to mess with your head, or 8 cans to feel bendy going to bed. How many times a week now would you be riding up Mayo and up Joe Biden? Lads using robots when they get frisky, and Tommy's tremendous glass of whiskey. Hector telling stories like no one can. Fween looked all tool and we in Inish man. Larita outshifting lads on the piss. Do a twirl before you step into her office. Well, it's some show, but sure you already knew it. The Tommy and Hector podcast with Larita blew it. Well, there's lads listening in Cameroon, in Yemen and Iran, Ecuador, Panama and out in Kazakhstan. Well, don't forget to check your prostate, even your man listening in Kuwait. An Amazon tribe too good to be true, and Hector has a crow to pluck with you. Taking sleeping pills that look very dodgy, or an isomorphine suppository. A full O'Donnell's pack of crisps out on your own, and trying to find PJ Cullum, Larry's home, going camping on Connemara's coastline. Is there yesterday at all, animal of any kind? Hector trying to get a sing-song going, but he feckin' look like Hulk Hogan. A big shout-out to Knockmore GAA and the one and only Auntie Ray. Well, lads using robots when they get frisky, and Tommy's tremendous glass of whiskey. Hector telling stories like no one can. Fween looked all tool and we in Inish man. Larita outshifting lads on the piss. Do a twirl before you step into her office. Well, it's some show, but sure you already knew it. The Tommy and Hector podcast with Larita blew it.
I want to open and evoke your minds here,
right?
Because to me, sporting events is what we live for in this country, and the feeling of collectiveness and the adventure and the adrenaline of a sporting event.
More so now, probably, because fuck all else to look forward to.
Dreaming about it now.
So I want us to see if we can go down that road of fucking the great things and the great emotions that are really, and the adventures, because whether it's your first time going into Croke Park, or, like, the journey for us, let's start right at the beginning. For me, it was the journey when my father, when we knew we were going to Croke Park as children, on a Sunday, and we would all get into the car in Navan, and Meade were playing in Croke Park, whether it was against Kildare or whether it was against the Dubs, and the journey of heading out through Dunshaughlin and in the back of the car, and you'd see flags hanging out windows, getting to Mulhuddart, we'd stop at a little pub right on the corner in Cluny, and every time we'd pull in, it was just past Dunboyne,
Is that the pub in three places? It's in Mulhuddart, Cluny and Dunboyne.
No, it's Mulhuddart.
Did they meet together?
It's, no, it's not. It's in Cluny. Was Cluny before Mulhuddart or Mulhuddart after Cluny?
Jeez, you're from Meath and you don't even know.
They moved it with the bypass.
This, I know this is going to be difficult for you, but I want you to come on this Meath journey with us. Because for us, the trek to Croke Park is spiritual.
But we had our own trek, so...
Yeah, but it's spiritual. It is, and I agree that.
What's that?
My father would have the two sneaky pints of Guinness.
Beautiful.
What time? You see, you didn't have to leave as
this is 12 o'clock in the day.
We had to be gone at 7.
Yeah, you'd be leaving.
There's nothing like morning porter.
On the way to Croke Park. And we'd have a lovely, do you know the pub sandwiches? Toasted ham and cheese. Oh my word, it come down in a little hatch. Oh my side. God. And we'd have our packets of crisps and red lemonade. My mother would be there as well. And we'd all push on then for the big drive into Dublin. Once I got to the Phoenix Park as a child, I was in complete amazement.
Oh, yeah.
If we come in that way through, by the Ashtown tin box, then we come down through Phibsborough, the big church.
Yes.
And then we'd hit the fucking pub on the corner. What's it? It's legendary. The legendary pub.
The Big Tree or
the Big
Queens
Tree.
Or?
The Big Tree. And then my father would always pull into a left-hand side street down past the SFX, and you could see Croke Park in the distance. And there would always be a lad with a dodgy leg going, pull her in here, over here, I park. And he'd always throw him money. I couldn't believe that he would
mind
the
car
until we come back. It's incredible. Yeah. And then we'd go into Croke Park. But that's what I want to get. The feeling of walking into that collectiveness in Croke Park or in any sporting thing, and the feeling of family and parish. And what sport? I think
like the first time I was in Croke Park was 1996 when you bastards ruined it for us. And we left, like, unlike ye, we wouldn't stop at a pub because we'd have to bring our sandwiches with us. I don't know what it was. It was, we wouldn't be wasting time on the journey. Although we used to stop sometimes in that place on the way down. It was a Mayo, the man, it was Felix. Was it in Rathoath?
Oh, yes.
So he was from Mayo, or he's from Mayo, and we'd stop in there on the way home. Now you'd get your dinner. But on the way up, you'd have your sandwiches.
But in every car, every car leaving from Mayo back in them days would have had a priest in the boot. For good luck.
Or
holy water, at least.
Just climb in there at the booth there and
bring you after mass.
He'd be in the fetal position praying for a Mayo victory all the way up. That's the truth of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and we'd let him out in Dublin for a walk around.
Oh, down to the Phoenix Park he was.
Yeah.
He'd other people to meet.
Who would be in the car, Loretta?
So normally me and my dad would go, or we'd, like, if we were going to Dublin now, we'd normally go on the train. We'd go to other matches in the car, but in the train. And our neighbour, he's dead now, Paddy McHale, he used to come with us.
Lovely.
And we'd all head off.
By the paper in Galway?
No, we wouldn't be going to Galway.
Where would the train go?
We'd go, get the train from Ballina, stop in Manulla, get off the train, get onto the train to go from Westport, the one that was leaving from Westport, jump on there, and it would be hell for leather, full of Mayo people.
Oh, yeah.
There wouldn't be a seat to be had.
Mayo! 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 The whole
Mayo,
way!
The whole way up. We'd
and
be
would your
full
father have a couple of cold bottles on the train?
No, we'd have the flask and the tea.
And the rosary.
The rosary.
Mayo! 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 Mayo!
Mayo! Mayo! Mayo!
Mayo! Mayo! Mayo! Mayo! Mayo! Mayo! Mayo!
Mayo! Mayo! Mayo! Mayo! Mayo!
What's the feeling like getting out 10,000 people got out of a train, 10,000 Mayo
you
people
see,
at
we
Houston.
Knew we were safe then because normally you go to Dublin and you'd be feeling a
you
bit...
You could be stabbed or
exactly.
married off to
but
some
but when
Dubliner.
You'd go up with all the Mayo ones, you knew you were sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you'd walk...
Stay together, boys, stay together! Hold! Hold!
And then you'd have to... I can't remember, we must have walked then from...
Oh, yeah,
you'd
like real Mayo people that walked the Croke Park.
You couldn't trust the taxi drivers, they'd fleece you.
Yeah, exactly, be too dear or you wouldn't...
No, they wouldn't get a bus.
The bus, you could get off anywhere. She wouldn't know where the bus
no,
would go to.
No,
where are you going, lads? Croke Park?
A double-decker bus.
A lot of traffic make around the Swords Way here.
No, a double-decker bus. Never in our born days did we see a double-decker bus. So off to Croke Park. And I'll never forget going in to the... It would have been the old Hogan stand at the time to watch Mayo.
That feeling, that's what I
down,
want to get.
Down near the canal, not the canal end. Yeah, down at the canal end. And that's where I was sitting for that bloody day. Wasn't that the big fight it was?
What did you think of Croke Park when you walked up the steps?
That was an odd day because you sent out your women's team that day.
We drew a cheese.
Isn't that what happened? The Mayo women's team we were up against that day.
Yeah, and listen, I always say to the 6-year-olds, Tommy's involved with 12 and 13s, and I'm involved with older now. As I always say, a bouncing ball Don't let the ball bounce. Block it down and don't let the blocking ball bounce. You let the ball bounce and it actually bounced over the bar.
Yeah.
And he should have come out, but you would have won in All-Ireland, but you let the ball bounce.
We let the ball bounce over the bar.
My memory of matches is more local than that. I used to love the feeling of it, of walking down from Park Talton of a Sunday afternoon about 4 o'clock and down, what's that road?
Down Trimgate Street.
Down
Bruce Hill.
Down Bruce Hill, first of all, and then down Trimgate Street. And there could be, because there were so many people coming out of Park Talton, cars couldn't drive. So you'd just be there walking and me'd be after playing. It could be a club match as well either, you know. But more often than not, be a league match, Meath against fucking Down. And it was just fantastic. I fucking loved that.
Streams of people walking together.
And I often think that, you know, when people in... It's kind of different in England now for people from Liverpool or Manchester, stuff like that. For them, walking home from Old Trafford or Anfield or White Hart Lane or whatever those places are, must be great for them if they live in that area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
This is
like whenever I was bringing the boys over to Anfield, like we'd be walking, like, and so 50,000 people, and we're walking out, right? And then we've a fucking bus to catch to get a fucking taxi to get a fucking train to get a plane, and we mightn't be home for fucking days.
Yeah.
But Park Talton, you just fucking
saunter out.
You'd be sauntering out, and you'd get a nice old and a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Half four. I fucking loved it.
There was pubs within spitting distance. There was a chipper within brilliant. 10 yards. But yeah. Tommy, talk to me. Oh. I know we might have touched on it before, but I want to get that feeling of walking into the stadium in Anfield. Like, obviously, I know Old Trafford, but paint that picture. Why do we love? What is it when 50 or 60 or 70,000 people get together?
It's the collective, you know, it's just that collective momentum. And I was crying when Galway bet Tip in the 16 All-Ireland Hurling Final, 16 or 17. And it was just
it's the noise and everything, prime, isn't it?
But more than, so it was, there aren't great songs in the GAA, right? Mm. But there is this kind of, what are you doing?
Steps!
And there's always a great moment in the hurling or in the football when, say, one team is winning by a point and the opposition kick the ball up in attack, and a fucking, it's the defining moment of the match where a fucking a Limerick defender comes out with the ball or a fucking, and he breaks through a few tackles. And, oh, yeah,
there's always one lad standing up in the middle of the
ground. But what happened then is, so Galway had won it, and then they played N17 on the Tannoy in Croke Park. The fucking floods of tears.
I know.
Like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it was just, so that kind of stuff. But I'd get just as much of a kick, like the Barna under 16 girls won the county championship last year. And I get just as much of a buzz off that watching them, you know, or, and the disappointment then the under 13 girls were beaten by Monavay or Tuam or something like that. And you'd be fucking, but it's a very organic sadness and a very organic happiness, and I fucking love it.
The club thing is super special though.
Yeah, yeah. Like when you're sitting in a smaller stand,
but you just
know
everybody.
Pitch.
Like, you know all your neighbours are there. Like, I'll never forget Knockmore.
Knockmore!
Yeah, like they went to the All-Ireland
Final. Knockmore for the cup! Knockmore for the cup! Knockmore for the cup! Knockmore for the cup!
You'd be all quiet in the stand.
The fuck, Knockmore!
Yeah, probably me.
What?
Roaring abuse at the ref or something.
When you wear the saffron.
Yeah, our jerseys are saffron and
say
blue.
Say it for us.
Saffron.
When we were the saffron, when we were the blue, the men who conquered Connacht, we knew what to do. The last leg of our journey to the final in Croke Park, to bring all Ireland glory to Knockmore's football heart.
Knockmore! And then somebody breaks a glass in the clubhouse later. I was there.
We never did win the bloody final.
I was lucky enough to go to Cheltenham. I was working on the Gerry Ryan show way back. I did 10 years solid in Cheltenham.
He used to phone you.
I was paid all expenses.
Imagine.
Flight
to go
over
to Cheltenham.
And spending money and fucking hotel. And me and Paddy Power, young Paddy Power at the time, we used to start drinking the minute the Gerry Ryan show was over at fucking 12 o'clock every day, right? And we wouldn't stop drinking till 4 o'clock the next fucking morning. And
All I want, like, that's the sporting thing. Cheltenham.
Somebody only, should send us. The only we way should go to Cheltenham.
So I was over there with access all area passes. I'd have to do a phone call every morning to Gerry Ryan. I was given 10 grand for the week or
Jesus
4 grand.
Christ.
No, charity bet. I was given 2 and 3 grand a day, 4 grand, 5 grand a day for a charity bet. I'd ring Gerry. Gerry would say, Hector, we're going live to Cheltenham. He'd put on My Lovely Horse and then we go live. I'd say, Nina Carberry's after winning a big race. Gerry, here she is. Nina, how's it going? I'd have Davy Russell coming in riding the fit. So, and I'd have a syndicate of lads that won from Wexford and they would all be dishevelled because they won the fucking race and they smell a drink off and the champagne. Gerry, it's the Swan and Trout syndicate here from fucking Ballyracket. We were the winner of the bumper yesterday, Gerry. We backed the fuck out of it. And Gerry would love that madness. Yeah. And he said to me and Paddy, what are you going to do now? We're going drinking, Gerry. We'll talk to you. I want to hear all the stories. Gerry would egg us on. But to me, the only way to describe Cheltenham is when you're standing in that arena and you're out the front and the horses are going down to the start and you look around and there's a sea of faces, 50,000 that way and another 30 or 40,000 that way. At 10 o'clock in the morning at Cheltenham, there could be 30,000 people on course drinking. And there's a Guinness Village, which is a mixture of the Peaky Blinders. And it's like a fucking Peaky Blinders AGM. Every gun has a hat and a suit on. And there's fucking Rebel Rousing Wolf Tones fucking bands playing covers. And it doesn't, nobody gives a fuck. It's fucking debauchery. And you're meeting fucking, there's helicopters coming in and there's fucking
lads falling out of them.
Catch him, boys, catch him.
He drops off. 100 feet and he fucking goes, I'm okay.
The muck.
Next minute Premiership football players are walking by you drinking, there's Lee Westwood with a bottle of champagne. It's fucking mental. And then is it the anticipation builds. But when you're there and the roar goes up, the runners are at the start here for the 23rd Cheltenham Festival. The supreme novices hurdle, we're at the start. These are the best horses in Ireland against the best horses in England. And we've got the favourite. And next week, the white flag is raised and they're off. And this roar goes up along the stands. Lads are throwing fucking racing posts in the air. I've never felt anything. It's like 10 All-Ireland finals rolled into each day.
Wow. Wow.
And that feeling, like you're queuing for the toilet, it's just fucking queues everywhere, but it's just, there's some sporting things. I'm very lucky that I've seen that. And
there's fake tan and there's shoes.
There's everything. Yeah. But that to me, sporting events, I mean, the GA is one, but when the horse racing comes together in Cheltenham, for fuck's sake, it's just one of the most amazing things that the human body can take. It's the only place I've ever seen where I was in the hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning and I was there with the Jesus Christ, my stomach is at me, I'm trying to sleep and I know I'm on Gerry Ryan at 9:30 and I'm like next minute I go down to the reception and I go, how are you? And she goes, how are you? I said, look, you don't have anything for an upset tummy, do you? Now, down at reception at 3 o'clock in the morning in a hotel in Cheltenham is fucking Peaky Blinders mixed with Las Vegas. It's fucking, there's fucking boys, poker games. It's just, nobody sleeps. Bars stay open all night long. That's the only fucking hotel I've ever been in all my travels, where I went, you don't have anything for an upset stomach, do you? Oh, 1 second. Pops out, she comes out of the room at the back and she has a case full of stuff and she just opens the top. And she just goes like this. Yeah, what would you like? I've Gaviscon. She had every Rennie, Alka-Seltzer, fucking Salpidine, anything you want, just for the Irish boys. Fucking hell. Incredible. Yeah. But I can't describe enough. The buzz at Cheltenham is the same buzz at an All-Ireland final. It's multiplied by the buzz at the county final or walking into Anfield.
Would you need to know about horses to get a thrill out of it?
No, because an awful lot of people there just go for this sociality of it. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I was there 1 year in Cheltenham. The fucking weather was really bad. So this fucking, one of the tented villages, at 9 o'clock in the morning, the roof blew off the tented village. So the whole thing was cancelled. Oh, so by half nine in the morning, me and Paddy Power were up there with all the boys. And on the town, we regret that racing has been cancelled. Racing has been cancelled. So you've got 50,000 Irish lunatics going, what the fuck are we going to do now? And they opened up the bar. There's one bar called the Centaur, which can, it's like a basketball arena, and it can host about 12,000 people at once. Well, I'm not joking you. We were in there by 1 o'clock. She was fucking bananas.
Mental.
Bananas. Nobody gives a flying. Hector, will you have a drink? You will. You come back there with 19 gin and tonics. It's just.
And you'd have fellas going over now with Tesco bags full of cash. Wouldn't you? You'd yes. have you'd have yes. farmers who'd have. Now, yes. In the Galway races, you'd have fellas driving up from Gort and Nina. And it would be there, they'd have 15 grand yeah. to spend that
yes,
day.
Yes, yes.
Cheltenham, you could probably multiply that by.
Multiply it. I met a farmer. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I met a farmer one day. I was drinking with Mick Galway. Mick fucking Galway, the rugby lad.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking stuck. Just take one slug out of a pint and be gone. Another one, Hector. This is like. And I met this farmer. And I was standing in one of the bars and I said to him, how are you? And he goes, and we talk into each other's ear because that's the way you talk when you're giving tips. You go into the left of his ear like that.
It's like
and,
you're
and you grab the back of his elbow there and you pull him in close and you go, well, have you got something for me? I only came over to back one fucking horse and I'm only backing one horse for the week. And then I went, do you want a drink? About 4 hours later, we're going, what are you backing? He says, I've 10 grand in my pocket here, cash, and I'm back in Denman. I said, what? He says, I'm back in Denman. Denman bolted up.
And he used to be big in the
even day. Money, bolted up, one bet, 10 grand, money done. But I've seen young lads going over with all the young Peaky Blinders effervescent energy on them, and this is their first ever Cheltenham, and they're fucking 2 grand each, and they put it on the wrong horse, or they blow it on the first day, and they've gone out with their tail between their legs, and they're broken men. And when you walk out of Cheltenham as a broken man up the car park, and you've lost your balls,
yes,
it's a hard place to be. But I'll tell you fucking one thing, when you've won fucking money in Cheltenham and you come out of the car park, they're fuck, and you know the party's going on down the town, it's the greatest, it's the Mecca. You talk about the Hindus loving them and the Mecca and their fucking mosque. Cheltenham,
that's Islam.
Islam.
Let's not get bogged down. No.
But that is the shrine, the temple. It's just, it's one of the most amazing things. I can only recommend it to people that you'd never fucking see anywhere like it.
See, I think I've.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I've gone off being, like, touching other people.
Well, you didn't need COVID to start that.
Do you know what
that.
I mean? I just...
Would that be your worst nightmare, going to somewhere where it's just full of people? And just mixing in with them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad about it now, even though I love Croke Park and stuff like that. But what I'd like to do now, you know, you think of there, what sporting events would you like to go to see before too long?
Before all your arms stop working.
I know, because just putting it out, because neither of my arms are working.
What sporting event would you like to see?
Oh, I would love to get the last week. There's 2 weeks in it. The 17 days altogether. Hector knows already what I'm talking about. It's a 17 day festival. I would love to get ringside tickets for the last 7 days of the World Snooker Championships in the Crucible in Sheffield.
In Sheffield.
I would fucking love that.
Would you?
Just sitting there with a...
In silence.
Nobody touching me. And nobody touching me or talking to me. And just...
With the earphones in.
I wouldn't wear the earphones. I'd just be looking at them. Looking at them playing snooker and then go back to the hotel on my own. And I just...
lie down and I'd lie down on the bed. I wouldn't even make it or take off my clothes. I'd just lie down on the bed, stare at
the suit.
Lie in the suit on top of the duvet, and I'd be staring at the ceiling. And then I'd have a little rest, and then between sessions, and then I'd have a little buzz go off my watch. The evening session started at 7 o'clock. I'd walk down. I wouldn't speak to fucking nobody.
Far.
I'd love that. I'd love the last
week. Would you actually?
Oh, I'd fucking. Oh. That'd be just
tremendous. For the whole week you'd want to go there for.
Oh, yeah, on my own. The world snooker final in the Crucible.
Oh, can you imagine? I'd love that.
I like watching it on the telly, but I wouldn't be able to sit still there for so long. I'd be so bored.
The theatre. It'd
be fantastic. I can't think of any other big events that I'd like to go to, really. I love watching women's tennis.
Why?
Oh, they're just
Naomi Osaka.
No, Naomi Osaka. Even though she's American, but Naomi Osaka. She's
So you'd like that?
Juice.
Oh no, that's what about that one? Ish. Wait. It's a long one. Ish. And then they go for the low backhand. Ish. That's a little monkey above in the crowd.
That's what Tommy sounds like.
I like women's tennis, yeah.
Just for the sound effects.
Sound effects and their
Wimbledon.
I like the shape of them as well. The shape of women in women's tennis has changed now a little bit. So there was a thing of where these skinny little fucking Fifi Trixie Bells would be winning it. Like Kournikova, and she'd beautiful woman and stuff like that, but now they've gotten they're chunky, they're powerful.
Serena Williams,
she's powerful. A powerful unit.
She is fucking, she'd play full back for the Knockmore ladies team.
The ladies team,
oh fuck me, she's
Serena, come out with it, Serena, drive on. Steps, Serena, steps.
She'd go from the fullback line straight for the goal.
Oh, Serena!
She'd clear some ball. I'd say, they always say...
And ball.
Yeah. The bigger your backside, the more powerful your kick. You know, if you see... I'm trying to think of... I can't think of one offhand, but a big glute is often the sign of a powerful boot.
Yes.
You know? But what's happening now, so the women used to be Fifi Trixie Bells and all just kind of waves. Tracy Austin. But now you get these fucking chunky Russian women and they're built like rugby league players.
One of their
players.
Legs would be the size of
they're
you.
They're just fucking, and it's meh, 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 meh. And I just love and they're so the women, they seem to be they've huge big muscly chunky
I don't know what you're pointing at
so
there.
They wouldn't be big breasts no women but they're now. But so it's all, do you know what kind of effect is it, the kind of small breasts,
it's powerfully defined bodies,
yeah, and it's just but it's fucking it's
legs big
chunky,
yeah, the powerful nice, there's something nice about that, isn't there? You'd be above in the room with a tremendous glass of whiskey.
I do often dream about going into a dressing room full of them, naked and blindfolded and drunk, and just going, hit me, fucking beat the shit out of me now. Go on. And there'd be a silence. There'd be this eerie fucking silence as the door opens. And Serena comes in, and all the other women will back off, and I'd be there with the blindfold on. What's happening? And then I just get this tremendous fucking dig into the fucking side of the head. Oh my god! And she'd lift me up
again.
She'd lift me up by the fucking ankle, and she'd fuck me against the wall. And I'd just be bet tremendously.
Your fantasies. I was just thinking yesterday, I was driving along in the car and like I was listening to a song that was kind of over my head, a bit highbrow. Maybe this is why I don't have that emotional attachment.
How do you mean the song was over your head?
It was just a bit like, you know, and the presenter builds it up like it's this, you know, oh my God, like the song is just, you know, touching all bases and it's all this. And then the song is played and you're like, what the fuck? It's a Tori Amos or one of those ones there, you know. So anyway, I was just thinking, you know, when you're in Leaving Cert and you're doing your English and you're doing these fucking poetry, right? And you're learning about Elizabeth Bishop or Emily Bishop, whatever their names are.
John Bishop.
Yeah, that's different. And then you have to like imagine, you know, you have to like, what's the word? You have to break down the meaning of the poem.
Yes. Mm.
It's utter nonsense, isn't it?
In what way?
It's just like you're sitting there and you are reading about this poet you have absolutely no connection to, and she was born in the 1800s.
Yeah, but she can be writing about an event in her life that might echo off yours. You know,
some of it's a bit much, and I think that, you know, there's some poetry that you read and it's interesting and you have a connection to it. But then it's like fine wine, it's like all this stuff. People have just created this nonsense. Oh yes, like this wine is just amazing and it's full of earthy tones and oaky and, you know, raspberry hints, and you're like,
I'm not going to sit here and take this shit anymore.
And then this,
Rita,
this poem is
what's
like, you know,
what the
deep
fuck
inside
is,
your
is it
heart,
North Korea or fucking Mayo that you live
of
in?
Your soul, and you put it into this poem. Like,
I would. And what about the song on the radio? What did your man? What was wrong with it?
I don't. It was just an example of this
he
world.
He was trying to paint a picture.
Yeah, but
in
like
the time of my confession. In the hour of my deepest need, when the pool of tears beneath my feet flood every newborn seed, there's a dying voice within me, reaching out somewhere, toiling in the danger and in the morals of despair. Don't have the inclination to look back on any mistakes. Like Cain, I now behold this chain of events that I must break. In the fury of the moment, I can see the master's hand. Like every leaf that trembles, just like every grain of sand.
That's Bob Dylan, is it?
Isn't that just...
That's Bob
like,
yeah,
see,
but
that's
you know,
more of it. Another one that's going on. He sang a song I heard one day for 27 minutes.
That's right.
What the hell? I'll never forget we were doing this talent competition out in Belmullet.
Are you not getting
And I was one of the
that?
Judges. Me and Audrey and this lovely man called Ian.
Hang on.
The three of us were judging the talent
I'm
competition.
I'm fascinated by this now. A fucking talent competition out in Belmullet. You'd have one
fellow. Were you the celebrity judge?
The three of us were a celebrity.
Yeah, you're one fellow who could get to the beginning to the end of the alphabet without stopping, yeah?
So anyway, this fella came and your man in the middle, there was one man and anchored by the two beauties on the right and the left. And why says, Ian, you take this one now. So he stood up and he introduced his song and great, and asked a couple of questions. Where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. He started singing the song and he wrote the song himself and he's singing it and it's going on for 8 minutes. And afterwards, we had to give our comments and I nudged Ian and I says, you go for it. And he goes, well, no. He says, I don't know what kind of a relationship you had with your father that you'd throw it out in 8 verses of a song, he says, and keep us here listening to it. Well, I thought I was going to pass out laughing. So a bit like Bob there. Like,
there's no song that gets you going that sings you
off. There is. I like
what,
Romeo
chorus,
and Juliet. I like
Dire
that.
Straits.
Yeah, I like that one.
Love Struck Romeo. On the streets of Serenade. Laying everybody low. With a love song that he made. He finds his streetlight. He steps out of the shade. He says something like, you and me, babe, how about it? Juliet says, goodness me, it's Romeo. Yearly, give me a heart attack. She's shouting to her mother, hey, ma'am, my boyfriend's back. Shouldn't come around here singing up at people like that. Anyway, what you gonna do about it? Juliet!
When
we make love, you used to cry. He said, I love you. The stars above said, I love you till I die. There's a place for us. You know the movie song?
Oh, no.
When you gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong?
She's
Juliet.
She She's a concert. She are a concert.
See, that's a good song because it has a start, a middle, and an end.
You're mockering a firma. Did you ever go for Queen of the Land?
No, I didn't.
You're mockering a firma.
I never was in mockery.
You are a country lady through.
You do the walk. You do the walk of life.
Do you want to hear a good story about that? My mother really liked Dire Straits, right? Oh, yeah. And when we were having her funeral, we had to, at the undertaker said, can you pick out some songs for the, we were going to the crematorium. And I said, oh yeah, like Lady of Knock. And you know, so my sister says, what about the Walk of Life? It was her favourite song. So anyway, I saw so the next thing, they're taking her mum in and the coffin, and we're sitting there, and you know, it's all deep like. And the next thing, here it comes.
Here comes Johnny singing, oh, that's golden. Be babaloo, baby, what I say. Here comes Johnny, make him. I got a woman down in the tunnel trying to make him pay. Be babaloo, he got the action, he got the motion. Oh, yeah, the boy can play. Dedication,
devotion,
airing out in that time, airing in the day. And that's what I'm selling in. Which is a song about the trouble and the strife.
Do the walk of life.
Come on,
everybody.
Is
this a funeral or a gig? And what was happening?
And my other sister know that that song was going to be played, and we're sitting there and they're carrying up the coffin. That's and my class. Other sister is like, will you tell him to turn that off? Turn it off. And she's saying to the fella that's there, like, taking care of the music, turn it off.
Did they start shuffling with the thing?
We're all there. People didn't know how to react. Like, are you supposed to be kind of laughing? Are you crying? And she's like, switch it off. Yeah. Help it.
Your mother was laughing.
My mother was probably your laughing. Mother was like, laughing. Imagine the walk of
fantastic. Stop.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast with Tommy Hector and Aretha Blewett. And we'll talk to you next week. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.